Hello, welcome to my first episode of Words and Wine. I wanted to start this series because I started a business a year and a half ago, and I've found that what has really gotten me through this year, which has been very challenging, has been words, have been books by other people going through similar things. What's difficult about being an entrepreneur or owning a business is that it can be quite lonely. So I think a lot of people don't talk about this, but when you work in an office environment, which I've done for quite a number of years, you have all these people around you and you kind of know when you're doing a good job because you've got someone to bounce off. You've got, well, not just someone, you've got lots of people to bounce off, and you can kind of see, okay, right, like that person said did a good job. I got this in on time. I know my list for the day and I got through that whole list and my manager was really happy about that. And so you've constantly got this way of understanding yourself and defining yourself. But when you are on your own, or like in my case, I have a business partner, so I've got one person I can kind of bounce off, which is really useful. But that's it. Like clients usually, in the industry I work in, I work as a marketing consultant. And so clients will sometimes say like, oh, like you did a great job and we're really happy with this. But a lot of the time, it's more kind of like you're at home by yourself going, I hope I'm doing the right thing, and wondering whether what you are doing next is the most important. So you may have seen, I did a speech a few months ago, which I've shared on YouTube. I've shared on my playlist. Which was about sort of my ABCs for starting a business, which is to always be curious. And one of my key tips was to do something really simple, to read books. And so that's what this series is about. It's about particularly about business books that I found very helpful. And of course, wine, because wine absolutely helps me deal with the nerves of so I thought that was fitting, and I think it also just helps me talk more, not that I generally have a problem talking too much. So the wine I'm drinking tonight is actually wine left over from our wedding. We bought a little bit too much for our 60 guests, so I'm drinking one of our many bottles of the Catamounts Pigeons Shiraz from the Barossa Valley. It's delicious. It usually costs about $20 from like Dan Murphy's, or that's usually where I get it from. I'm sure you could find it elsewhere, but it's very, very good. So that's what I'm drinking. This isn't really a wine show, but so to kick things off, as I have said in the headline here, and what this is about is I want to share five books that I found or continue to find the most useful for starting a business. Now, I think that I shared three in the speech that I gave. They're a little bit different because as I read books, I kind of change the list of, you know, what I find the best. So these are now my current five top books. And I'll walk you through each one of those a little bit and tell you what I like about it, and just give you a quick summary of what each one is about. Okay, wait, I need some wine first. All right, let's get cracking. All right, so maybe let's do this in no particular order. Still Like an Artist, by Austin Kleon. Fantastic book. So Austin Kleon is someone who actually, like me, does a lot of copywriting. He works in an agency, I believe. I don't know if he still does. Very, very well known. He's done a TED talk. I think he did a TED talk a few years ago. Probably most of the writers actually for these books have done TED talks. What Still Like an Artist is about basically this idea that I think, a lot of people think that an original idea has to come from nowhere. It has to be pure. It has to be something that no one else has thought of before. And what Austin Kleon is saying is, well, no, actually, ideas come from other people's ideas, you know. So that saying like, we stand on the shoulder of giants. That's probably not exactly how the saying goes, but you know what I mean. our knowledge is accumulating over time. So, and this is one thing I talk about in my speech as well. So if we can learn as much as we can from the people that we admire, then we can emulate them. So in business, of course, this is important because we might see someone else doing something that we're like, oh, I'd really like to do that. We're obviously not going to copy them. We're not going to imitate them. That's not what stealing is. Stealing is taking a little bit of that, and then maybe you like something else someone else is doing. You take a little bit of that, and then you start to put it together. So for me, doing this YouTube video, you know, I've seen people do similar YouTube videos, but in different areas. So maybe they're tutorials or instruction videos. Of course. And now I'm trying to find a way to kind of put that together. So business books, talking to you. So I think the reason he says still like an artist is because this is what artists have been doing for a long time. But what about if you're not doing art? What about if you're a writer? What if you're looking to start a business like I was? And this, you know, has really helped me. This concept has really helped me to kind of think a bit more about what I like about what someone's doing, but how I could change it. And so if you're looking for an idea for a business, I think this book will really, really help you start to just think about ideas, because a business starts with an idea. There's a lot that follows it, but it starts with an idea, and it's got to be something that you're passionate about. All right, let's have a look what else we got here. Rising Strong by Brené Brown. These are big sellers. Like, I don't think these are, you know, it's no secret that this book is great and Brené Brown is great. Brené Brown has the most watched TED talk in the world, so, or second most watched. Anyway, she's like massive. So I'm sure you guys have heard of her before, or if you haven't, don't feel bad. Go watch her TED talk. You'll like fall in love with her and then get this book. So she wrote this book as part of a series of three. So the first book is called The Gifts of Imperfection. The second book, which I haven't read actually, is called Daring Greatly. And then this book, the third book, Rising Strong. So actually, if you can see it here, it says, if we're brave enough, often enough, we will fail. So, we will fall. If we're brave enough, often enough, we will fall. This book is about getting back up. So in business, you are definitely at some point going to fail. You probably fail before you even start your business, and you have to get really used to being able to deal with that and just seeing it as a learning curve and kind of being like, cool, like just take everything on board. So what I really like about what Brené Brown does is she's like, yeah, okay, we're like, you know, when you're vulnerable, like when you start your own business, or, you know, especially I think if you're doing something creative, you know, or you really love what you do, like you're putting yourself out there, and it's really scary to think that, okay, you've put yourself out there and then someone's going to not like it or not buy it, or no one's interested, no one cares. And this book is about kind of saying, well, that's all part of the process and that's okay. And this is how you deal with it. And this is how you think about it. One sort of thing that she talks about a lot in here, which I really like just for life in general, she talks about this idea of the stories we tell ourselves. So stories, you know, for me working in marketing, so marketers recognize that stories are the things that people hold on to and kind of remember. And it's a way to sort of get inside someone's head. You know, stories are something that seem to be part of our DNA. And the problem is with the stories that we tell ourselves, it's sort of like almost like an automatic thing that our brain does. So Brené Brown talks about, for instance, say you go on a date with someone, you kind of like them and you think that they like you, and then, you know, they organize another date with you, and then they turn around, say like on the night that you're meant to be going out, and they go, oh, look, I'm really sorry, I'm not feeling too well. I do you mind if we cancel tonight and I see you on the weekend? But say you heard that, and maybe you'd had a few flaky boyfriends in the past. You know, maybe the story you would tell yourself is something like, oh, like, no, this guy's not interested. I don't think he really cares about me. I think he doesn't want to see me again. I think he's just saying he doesn't feel well. I don't think it has anything to do with that. But, you know, stuff him, whatever. I'm just not going to see this guy again. That's a story we tell ourselves. We actually have no idea whether that guy is for real or not. Maybe he's actually telling the truth. But because our brains are really good at recognizing patterns, it will look at what's happened to us in the past and kind of say, well, this is likely to be the case. also it's something that's trying to sort of protect ourselves. So we're trying to not put ourselves out there and not be vulnerable, which is what Brené Brown's first book is about. So Rising Strong is sort of about dealing with those stories and recognizing that they're stories and they're not necessarily true, and then sort of going from there. So yes, that is a really good book. Even if you don't want to start a business, really good book, great book for relationships and just everyday life. It's an easy read as well, not hard to get through. Her other book, The Gifts of Imperfection, really good. I'm guessing Daring Greatly would be good. I haven't read it, but I feel like if the other two books were good, this one's probably pretty good as well. Okay, cool. Number two, done. We've got three more to go. I feel like I should probably have like some wine after each book. This is really good. Okay. I haven't read this book for a while, but it is amazing. There we go. Elaine de Bodden, Status Anxiety, number one international bestseller. These are all pretty bestsellers. So I'm not telling you any secret books that like aren't available in bookshops. These are all pretty big names. I love Elaine de Bodden. I love everything he writes. I just think he's amazing. I got to see him at the Opera House a few years ago, and it was just such an amazing experience for me just to see someone who like I read everything about, but like, I love you. And then I just, you know, got his signature and then like walked away. And yeah, I'm like really geeky like that. anyway, so I haven't drunk that much wine. So Status Anxiety is sort of about, it starts off talking about, you know, in the past, we didn't have this whole status issue. So in the past, it was sort of like, you know, you're a peasant, you're a peasant, you're a prince, like, you know, you just kind of, that's who you are, that's your lot in life, and you just, you didn't work your way up, you didn't go and do something else. It was like, this is what you're doing. So this book is interesting because then what he kind of goes on to say is that there's a lot of stuff that we're anxious about because we're trying to get to a certain place in life. You know, we're trying to be like, well, like we could be Bill Gates, because technically we could be, I mean, Bill Gates was Bill Gates, so maybe you could be like Bill Gates or Steve Jobs or Mark Zuckerberg, you know, but what he's saying is like, actually the chances of that is very slim, and that's okay. That doesn't mean that you're a failure. Doesn't mean that life is bad unless you get to that certain point. I think this is a really good book for thinking about perspective and thinking about what really matters in your life, because we spend a lot of time worrying about what other people think, but at the end of the day, no one else really cares except for us and our family and our friends. Like, there's 7 billion people in the world. It doesn't matter to anyone else. It matters to us. So you may as well just do what you want to do, you know, and you don't have to be a millionaire to be happy. And you don't have to feel bad about it. I think that's a big thing, is we don't have to feel anxious about where we get to in life. It's all a bit of an illusion. So it's a really good book. I really, really, obviously all of these books are good. I recommend them. I think the other thing that I really liked about Status Anxiety is, like, it kind of talks about something that I think is really, really important. So there was this, I don't think he mentions it directly in the book, but it always makes me think about it. There was this, I think it was a woman who was a nurse, like a palliative care nurse, and she sort of documented, she interviewed people who were dying. This is going to get grim for a second, but it's worth it, so just hang in there. And she kind of said to the people who were dying, like, what are your biggest regrets? You know, what do you regret the most? And she published it, and The Guardian have published sort of like the top five regrets of the dying. But the top regret, which is the one I always remember, and it always makes me think about what I want to do and how I want to live my life, is people that said, I wish I didn't live the life that others wanted me to live, or I thought others wanted me to live. I wish I just would have lived the life that I wanted to live. That's not word for word what it is. But basically, like, I just wish I would have been more true to myself. I wish I would have lived my life. And I think about that every day now. I think in the scheme of things, no one else no one else is going to be there except for me at the end. And I want to be someone who can say I live the life that I wanted to live. And that's what status anxiety, sort of the whole book, is about. I don't think that work was necessarily done when Elaine de Bonham wrote this book, but it's along the same lines of that. I think I'm repeating myself now, so it's time for some more wine and another book. This is my second favorite, most bestest ever business book. So, Organized Mind by Daniel Levitin. So, thinking straight in the age of information overload, this is an incredible book. Whether you want to start a business or you want to not feel so stressed out at work every day, and at home, to be honest, it's really, really good. So basically, Daniel Levitin, he's a pretty cool guy, actually. So he is a neuropsychologist, or also sometimes what people call like a cognitive psychologist or a cognitive scientist. So Daniel Levitin basically explains, he starts off by explaining a bit about how our brains work, but it's very easy to understand. It's not too like dry and scientific. And he then goes into explaining from what we know about the brain, this is how we know that, this is how we can understand how, I guess, our, that was a really bad sentence. So how our brains work tell us a bit more about how we should organize things, whether we're at work, in our lives in general, you know, at home, in the office. I just said the same thing four times. You know what I mean. Actually, let's have a look. I think there's four sections. So my husband got me this for me for my 26th birthday. He wrote it on the front. Okay. So homes, social world, time, information for the hardest decisions, business world, and then some other bits and pieces, but they're the main ones. So the social part's actually really interesting as well, sort of talking about how Facebook is useful and isn't useful. For instance, as an example, also, you know, like dating apps. Sorry, there's a fly. So what I really like about this book is it's very evidence-based and it's very methodical. So this guy is kind of like going, okay, from what we know, this is how you need to think about things. He talks about sort of like people, I guess, who he calls like highly important people, I think is what he calls them, or something like that. So an example would be someone like Oprah Winfrey. And what he says is that people who are who are important enough to be able to, one, like afford assistance, but also kind of, you know, they're in demand all the time. Right, so someone like Oprah has a bunch of people that tell her, okay, this is the most important place you need to be right now having this conversation. So one of the things that happens a lot with, you know, normal people like you and I is that we would kind of say, okay, say we're sitting down with someone for lunch, but we've got to get back to the office because we're on deadline this afternoon and we have to get that finished. And then as we're at lunch, we start thinking about that and then we start stressing about that and we don't really enjoy our lunch because we're not really focused on that. And then we go back to the office and we don't feel like we've had a break because we went to lunch but we were thinking about work the whole time. It's exhausting, right? And that's how a lot of us live our lives. So what Daniel Levitin's trying to get us to do is to understand how to live more like what Oprah Winfrey would, which is, okay, get everything out of your head, write it all down, know your checklist, know what you've got to do, so you can actually sit down with your friend at lunch and go, okay, I'm here now, like I'm just going to focus on this, and then once I finish this, I'm going to go do that, but I'm not going to be thinking about that while I'm doing this. So it's like almost like being in the moment, like sort of zen, but in a very like scientific and like this is actually how to be most productive. So I think for, you know, if you want to start a business, really, really useful because you're usually juggling a lot of different priorities and tasks and you've got to kind of just work out how you can keep on top of everything without driving yourself insane, and then, you know, like spending every weekend working and doing all the crazy things that a lot of entrepreneurs do that, to be frank, I'm like not interested in. Like, I really like my weekends. I really like my wine. I don't want to be working all the time and stressed and thinking about whether or not I've done something for a client. So I think this book has really helped me with that. And like I said, I highly, highly recommend it. I think it's a really, really good book. Second best business book. Now, the last one. Oh, wait, no. Before I get to that, just have a little bit more wine. Okay, so the last book, I'm actually reading at the moment, but I've just been so impressed with the beginning of it that I have to share it with you guys. The Personal MBA, A World-Class Business Education in a Single Volume by Josh Kaufman. Josh, I hope that's how you say your name. This book is incredible. It is basically like, I'm so glad I didn't do an MBA, because reading this, I'm like, one, Josh puts forward a very good argument for why MBAs are actually probably more damaging to people who want to be in business, because it's got really outdated kind of resources and ways of thinking about business, and actually like a kind of, I think he's right on that. He talks about some of the ways that an MBA can benefit you if you're someone who can afford it. Just absolutely like wonderful resource. It has so much in there. What basically he's done is he's packaged together like all these different frameworks to think through whether a business is valuable, how you create value in a business, you know, different frameworks for marketing, different ways of thinking about marketing research. Like, just, I've only gotten through like the first part of the book, which is about sort of creating value as the first step of business. And I really, really, really wish I would have seen this book when I first started my business a year and a half ago. It has absolutely put my mind at ease. I do not feel like an imposter in any way now. So again, like, you can understand why The Organized Mind was really good for me, because it helped me to kind of prioritize things and think about what I need to do next. The same with the Personal MBA, really good for kind of going, okay, in the quiet times I can think about these things, and these are important to be thinking about the next step for my business and where my business is going. Status Anxiety was really good to be like, okay, well, I'm doing what I want to do, which is all that should really matter to me at the end of the day. So I just thought it would be really good to start off by sharing those five books with you. I'm going to try to do this every week. So like I said, I'll be publishing this once a week on Mondays. I won't always be sharing books necessarily. I think I'll also just be talking about what I've learned. But I'd really like to know what you guys think of this and whether you think it's something that's worth continuing, because it's sort of a bit of an experiment at the moment. If there's a way that I can help people sort of not feel so intimidated to do what they want to do, I think that would be a really amazing thing for me. That's something that I'd really like to achieve, is to help more people live the life they want, rather than putting up with, you know, a work situation that maybe they're not happy in. Or, you know, I think a lot of people are not appreciated for how much work they do for the companies they work in. And I think that's something that when you own your own business, you kind of feel a bit more empowered about. So yeah, I hope you guys like this. I'm looking forward to the comments, and enjoy the rest of your evening with a glass of wine, I hope. All right, cheers guys.